This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I just hope I don't look back at the end of the season and go, we should have won the league this year.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of My Old Man Said. Joining me for a quick match reaction to the 1-1 draw at Chelsea. As Chelsea, plucky Chelsea, slow Villa's world domination down by pegging us back for a 1-1 draw at Stamford Bridge. Joining us to discuss it, Mr. Chris Bird. Welcome back.
Hello.
Merry Christmas. Hope you had
Merry
a good
Christmas
one.
To you too, sir.
And Mr. Phil Shaw, welcome.
Hello.
How's Christmas in Belfast?
That's much like any other, only with more drinking in the home instead of drinking in the streets.
Aren't you in lockdown for like the fifth time or something?
Yeah, like I said, we're a couple of weeks ahead of you, so if you want to know what's going to happen, look over to us for
a... Will there be a tier 8?
Oh, I don't know what we are. We're a completely new tier.
6, 7.
Godlike.
Right, so we went through the past year in the two-part Christmas special, which is also, it's like an end-of-year review. So if you haven't listened to that, then you've missed out there. So get on it immediately. But we're just going to give you a quick post-match on the Chelsea game. What was that headline that you were the Sky headline that we didn't agree with?
Dogged Villa and controversial draw at Chelsea.
I don't think that's was the case here. When we were 1-0 down, and the fact that we hadn't actually got any points when we'd conceded the first goal, I was thinking, yeah, I'll take a point here. I don't normally go for that mentality. I always think you can try to win any game, but it's fair game. And there was a period once we got the equaliser, it was pretty much end-to-end for a period of about 20 minutes, and you're just thinking, actually, yeah, this could go either way. A point, there's no shame in that.
Yeah, for the second time over the Christmas period, I think it was a really good game for the neutral. Especially this one compared to Palace, where we were a lot more dominant. I think this one was two teams genuinely going toe-to-toe.
Yeah, I mean, as I've always said, I don't give a fuck about the neutral, but...
it's great to see us, as I said, going toe-to-toe with a good team, though, isn't it? You know, especially at Stamford Bridge, considering our record there more recently, you know, during our decline of the last 10 years, it's been pretty woeful.
No, 100%. Selection, obviously, there was an actual legitimate reason for Ross Barkley not being there this time. I mean, if he's not on the team sheet against United, then...
A few questions to be asked.
Yeah, we want our money back as well. But the boys have come off the fringes. People like El Ghazi, who is now 5... Is it 5-5?
Yeah, it's a great run of form, isn't it?
Considering... he hadn't managed that in his previous, like, 37 games or whatever it was. So sensational stuff from him. And, I mean, we're jumping ahead here, but I would have him, if Barkley came back against United, I would have Anwar playing and probably Traore stepping aside.
Yeah, I'd give him a rest, just keep the rotation going. If you've scored 5-5 and you're playing as you are, and I think you give the team legs and energy, I think, yeah, you've got to play him.
Yeah, switch him to the right, Grealish on the left, away you go. So no surprises. Konsa came back and Konsa had a great game. I mean, it's a couple of great key moments, a block that would have led to a certain goal. And then just before they had a goal disallowed, did he clear it off?
Yeah,
it was off the line.
Yeah, he cleared it off the line. It was offside anyway.
Yeah. Highlights for you in terms of performances?
I think McGinn was outstanding. Really back to his best, just a bundle of energy. Yeah. And I think, you know, with the quick turnaround and the fact that we'd played for, 45 minutes with 10 men against Palace and put in a real shift, You know, I think, you know, some of the running stats you saw after the Palace game were outrageous, and the fact that McGinn managed to just plough through another 90 minutes against, let's be honest, a very energetic midfield in Mount, Kante, etc. Yeah. I thought it was excellent. He deserved his, you know, would have deserved his goal that came back off the crossbar.
That was a great shot.
Yeah, I thought both fullbacks put in great shifts. Cash and Target again. I thought Cash and Target were brilliant again against Palace, especially Target, who seems to stick to his task, you know, diligently in defence. I think we're, you know, yet to see him as big a force going forward as he was in moments last season. But Cash obviously got his assist against Chelsea and put in a really good shift against Zaha, against Palace as well.
Yeah, because initially in the first half, we were struggling because I don't think Traore had fully realised his task, because I don't think he'd probably realised that Chilwell was going to be such a attacking...
Well, he's a progressive fullback, isn't he, as they call them.
Force, yeah. I think they had to sit him down at half-time to bring him up to speed on that one, because sometimes we were exposed. And, you know, half of it was we wasn't probably asking them as many questions as we would have liked, say, towards the end of the first half, to actually get Chilwell defending rather than having a free rein down that left-hand side.
Yeah, we certainly didn't turn him round enough.
But again, he is a quality player. I mean, the ball he played in for Giroud, you're expecting Chilwell to whip that one right in on top of the keeper, right in the sort of corridor of uncertainty, but he saw Giroud and just sort of clipped it back a wee bit further deeper, and it was a great finish by Giroud.
Yeah, I think that the flick that led up to it from Giroud in the build-up actually just kind of put them almost a couple of yards ahead of Villa there. It caught us off guard.
Yes. Well, he's a quality player, isn't he? And he only needs a half chance. It was a real clinical finish.
Yeah.
Again, from Giroud against Villa.
Yeah, it's his 10th goal, I think, in 10 games against us.
Wow.
He'll retire soon.
I think Ronaldo had a similar crazy statistic. I think of all the Premier League teams,
and
English
Robbie
Premier
Fowler
League
probably
teams,
as well, I'd imagine.
Yeah, but I think of all the Premier League teams, I think Ronaldo scored more goals against Villa than anybody else. But going back to the two fullbacks, I think the good thing about having two solid fullbacks now means we've gone through probably a decade where we've had to watch centre backs ball watching fullbacks out of position.
Fullbacks who aren't even fullbacks.
Fullbacks who aren't fullbacks. Centre backs who aren't even centre backs. And just to have two competent fullbacks who know what they're doing exactly allows the centre backs to get on with their job, so they're not kind of being pulled out of position covering the asses of fullbacks. So that's part of the reason why we've got such a solid back line nowadays.
Yeah, and we can't overlook how good Martinez is playing at the minute. I mean, the amount of balls that come into the box today that he just claimed, just took the need out of any centre back or defender to get near it. He just read it well, come out, caught it, and that was it. Took pressure off the team and started the attacks again.
Yeah, when you're of a certain age, I'm not giving my age away, but when you're of a certain age, you remember an era where goalkeepers used to catch the ball. And then it got to this, I think like 90s, where keepers were just parrying them. And then there was this notion that a keeper could be a good shot stopper, but they weren't actually a good goalkeeper. And European keepers were blamed for just being people who basically parried it or came out and punched it. But Martinez is a real throwback. He's somebody who catches the ball at pretty much every opportunity and, you know, it sticks.
Well, he's got conviction, hasn't he, as well? You can hear him, and obviously it's easier on, you know, an empty stadium, but you can hear his conviction when the ball comes in. He comes out, claims it, says he's going to, and he gets there. He's not like, you know, David James, where he sort of thinks about coming, stops halfway through, everyone panics or comes out and doesn't get there, flaps at the thin air. He comes and takes everyone out if he needs to.
Because he closes down amazingly. Sorry, Phil. He closes down amazingly. Comes off his line. He reads the game so well.
Yeah, I was just thinking, was he at Arsenal so long that he would have been like taught by like Bob Wilson, David Seaman, people like that? Was he there long enough to sort of have that influence?
And even the tactical influence of Wenger, I'd have thought. And the through that era, over a long period of time, you know, he obviously was loaned out a lot as well. So he has had game time, just not at Arsenal, but he'll have learnt really well. And his distribution, you know, with the ball is great as well.
Yeah.
The more, you know, with every game passes, you think, what a great piece of business by us and what a terrible decision by Arsenal.
Yeah, I mean, but Arsenal are in the situation where they had to pick their number one, really, didn't they? And they probably went the wrong way.
Thanks very much.
Because if somebody's given you 20 million for a number two, then you're probably going to say, go on then.
Oh, on the face of it, you'd say it's a great piece of business, isn't it? And I'm sure, to be fair, if he'd have stayed at Arsenal, would he be able to have done much about what he's had to deal with in front of him in terms of defence? No, because our defence is head and shoulders better than Arsenal's at the moment. Yeah. How good does that feel to say, by the way?
Yeah, and we'll finish higher than them, hopefully, unless they go on a ridiculous winning streak.
Can't see it.
Looking at the stats of the game, or just let's just say the general stats, I was quite surprised when I saw that Chelsea had 64% possession. It didn't really feel like that. I would say they edged possession, obviously, but I was surprised that it was that distinctly different. But Villa under par for the, you know, topping the whole Premier League in terms of average shots per game. They were going into it, I think it's a shade over 16.5 shots per game. Now that's gone down to 16, but they still lead. I think Liverpool are second with 15.6. This game they had 10, but compared to the last, let's say, four or so games, it's Chelsea were definitely a step up in terms of calibre of opposition.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the, you know, you see the two team sheets before the game and you look at what Chelsea have been able to bring in, having made six changes to the starting lineup, and you know they've got £200-300 million worth of players to bring off the bench.
Yeah,
and that's where the you think, you know, with sort of 20 minutes to go and the game very tightly poised, this is where they can flex their muscle and bring a, you know, a couple of world class or two or three world class players off the bench that can change the game. And you know, we brought young Jacob Ramsey off the bench, who, you know, very nearly had an instant impact, and I think
we matched them. Shot.
Yeah, really could have been an instant impact. Really close.
Yeah, Smith said after the game that it takes like three or four seasons to build a proper squad in this division. And I think he's probably right. We are certainly ahead of schedule, and Chelsea have got the money, basically, to do it instantly, even though they have a new manager in place.
I mean, you're talking about how long the Abramovich, you know, billions have been at Chelsea now. Now, they are a very established side now. They've won the league multiple times. They've been in the Champions League every season pretty much for the last 15 years or so, I would hazard a guess, if not more. Now, they're a very established side. So to go there and...
But still in transition.
Yeah, this side are, I think. And I think we all thought before the game that, you know, with the ball, they could be very effective, but certainly defensively with, you know, the Rudiger coming in. I think they made three changes on the back line. Everybody bar Chilwell was dropped. They were there for the, you know, there to be got at. And I think Villa, when they got the opportunity to, they got at them pretty well. I just didn't think we had that extra little bit of spark in the final third at times, other than the, you know, the goal, which was nicely made. And Al Ghazi, for the, you know, second time in a couple of weeks, finished it superbly.
Yeah, but Chelsea could afford to make six changes for this game. Villa went as they were. I mean, if Barkley could play against Chelsea and he was fit, this would be the perfect game to come back in just for the fresh impetus.
Yeah, and the bit of control it gives you in possession, which, yeah, I think was one thing we lacked, certainly in their half of the field. We never got enough sort of ahead of steam and control of the ball to be able to sort of camp out in their half. You always felt we were going to have to play through them very quickly, be very, yeah, efficient with our possession, which I think we were, to be fair, at times.
Had to be very wary of the Chelsea counter, because Pulisic, Mount, they have great pace and they're great at carrying the ball as well. So
yeah,
it was a good game. It was a good sort of competition, but I was surprised at how sort of old-fashioned Chelsea's tactics were. It was just,
yeah,
no messing at the back. It was, you know, shades of Steve Bruce, get it up and hope for a bit of sparkle up front, and they have like four players that can do it.
I think because they had the out ball, didn't they, every time with Chilwell, so it was very much look out left. Okay, Traore's drifted inside, which he did a lot.
Fair,
and he left Cash isolated a couple of times. And when you had Chilwell and often Pulisic drifting out to the left, you always had overloads there, and Villa were probably fortunate not to be punished more than once.
Yeah, that is one of the problems of playing a predominantly left-sided player on the right-hand side, is their natural tendency is to come inside rather than wide when they're going onto their stronger foot. As you know, as Phil just alluded to there, Pulisic, I mean, he would be kicking himself. He should have scored. He could have put Chelsea up ahead early doors, I think. And we got off lightly a couple of times there.
Yeah, it's a poor miss, to be fair. And then there was obviously the Chilwell chance right at the death. It's a great ball in, brilliant, really, really well executed volley. And you think, well, if you lose a game to that goal, you kind of hold your hands up and go fair play. But I think we'd put in enough of a shift defensively and in the middle of the park to say, do you know what, we've probably deserved a bit of a break there. And I think anybody looking at that game pragmatically would say neither team probably deserved.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I lose that.
Yeah, one of the standout things for me was probably Mason Mount's silver boots.
Yeah, sparkly. They're like little baubles.
Very high catching.
He actually had a good game, didn't he, to be fair?
88 touches. He was all over this game.
He played well.
Grealish, just out of interest, in comparison, 57 touches. McGinn actually outstripped Grealish for a change, 59. Normally, as we've mentioned a couple of times, McGinn's actually been the lowest in terms of involvement, in terms of touches. And this time round, he was number one in terms of the Villa forward line and midfield.
I think with 6 and 7 for Villa were played superbly, you know, with the slightly more deeper line midfielders. I think the game didn't open up at times enough for Jack, and I think they made sure they kept him with his back to goal and turning into traffic a lot of the time. So it allowed McGinn to kind of drive on. That's obviously where his chance where he hit the bar came from. He had another one as well where he probably should have shot when it came to him on his right foot. But Jack's going to have games like that, and I think it was a tough game for him going forward at times, although he had a couple of really great bursts. But I think defensively, him and Target put in a really good shift as a duo like they did at Wolves a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I was hoping we were just going to snatch it towards the end there, because when Chelsea brought their Havertz and Werner off the bench, they just opened up, and I thought to myself, if we'd have had maybe another couple of days recovery, a few more sort of gas in the tank, we would have got them on the break.
Yeah, I mean, I think we were in a match club, we were concerned at halftime that 10-man, fantastic effort against Palace may come back in terms of fatigue, but I thought we equipped ourselves pretty well.
Well, it's two, what you've seen in the space of, sort of 36 hours or so is that it's two very, very different performances from Villa. Palace Villa were so efficient, and how they used the ball with 10 men, and for 45 minutes it was as good as Villa have played all season, and they were very good value for a 3-0 win. They took their chances superbly. Obviously Watkins was unlucky, and this one was a more gritty, determined, get the job done kind of performance, and it's these sorts of results that show that's how you really push forward and get into the business end of leagues, cups, etc. Being able to go to Chelsea and say, well, we might not have the punch up front here to go and win it, but we can hold our ground and hold them at arm's length, which I actually think for the most part we did pretty well. Our defensive shape was great. And it was against Palace, to be fair, because, Palace had a lot of the ball in the second half of Villa Park, but we kind of soaked up when we had to. And then when we got the opportunities to, really got at them quickly. And, Jack on the breakaway was superb. He was at his scintillating best. And I thought El Ghazi put in a great shift when Troyer had gone on. He got up and down really well. And he was good value for his goal in both games, I thought.
Yeah, because we'd seen the first evidence just continuing on in terms of the Palace game, going back to the Championship when Mings was sent off against Rotherham and we were 1-0 down during the 10 game winning run. And that was a pivotal game, because when you were 1-0 down against Rotherham, you were starting to think, typical Villa, we've got some momentum here. Mings getting sent off, we're throwing it away. But we saw there that Smith had an idea how to play 10 men.
And in both games, we looked better with 10 men, didn't we?
Yeah, and actually turn it into something else. Rather than this philosophy of having to hold two banks of four with maybe one up top just to, on the off chance of lumping it up, he's all about vicious, fast, an opportunist counter. And he sees it as a almost attack is the, an attacking 10 men setup is what it is. And here it was like almost the perfect execution, because Ollie Watkins, I think Smith did say, you couldn't think of a better player in the Premier League to play up top when you're playing with 10 men. And certainly on that evidence, apart from I just wish he finished off that fantastic Grealish.
What a pass.
Slide ball, reverse pass that took six or seven players out of the picture.
It would have been picture book, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, the third goal is picture book in a different way in terms of turning a defence into attack. You know, Martinez obviously quickly gets it out to Grealish, drives, and that's when Jack's at his best. Brilliant to watch. And then obviously Watkins takes, you know, the touch, doesn't he? Pulls it back when you think, the chance has gone in the way. Al-Ghazi just rifles it in. I mean, the whole end would have exploded when that went in.
Yeah.
It was a great moment.
For a minute, you forgot how much food and drink you'd had over the break, and it was just like, where'd that come from?
That's the thing, without the crowds, I mean, Trezeguet would be a hero already, and for his antics, especially against Arsenal in the Project Restart, and here El-Ghazi managing to seal a win for a 10-men Villa team, which in the last few years we go down to 10 men and
it's inevitable.
You just see it online, people going, we've fucked that one up, and the game's still on, but now I mean, this is the fight that you want in your team.
Yeah, and you see that, you know, in conversely at Stamford Bridge, where you think, yeah, do you know what, Chelsea have clearly got a bit of firepower, they've hurt us there, we're a goal down, but you always think with this team now, we're always in the game.
Yeah.
Always. Because we've got individuals who can make things happen. And we've still got more to come back. You know, you think you've got Barkley to come back to scheme with Jack. That'll take a little bit of weight off his shoulders.
You've got Mings and Barkley coming back. So
it's a good look.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the big man coming
back soon.
any thoughts, Phil?
Well, just on Smith. I mean, look, a year ago today was Watford away. That was probably rock bottom. Well, I know people said Leicester away, but Watford was rock bottom. And I mean, if I was CEO, I'd have been tempted to pull the trigger on Smith that day. So it's lucky I'm not CEO, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, I think tactically, you know, we said a few times during last season that, is he learning? And you think, actually, do you know what? To be fair to him, he's probably had to learn the hard way, but he has been learning and he's drilled it into his team as well, which is great. My final point would just be, you know, the last few months, obviously, but the last few, you know, sort of four or five games, the little run we've had over the festive season, what a great way to finish what's been a crap year for everyone.
Yeah, no, I echo that sentiment.
And when you look down the bloody fixtures, you think, how on earth is the only game we dropped points disappointingly in Burnley at home? Even at times of brilliance, you think that's still typical Villa to drop the point in the Burnley game.
Yeah, although, I mean, fate has transpired against us in, you know, in terms of the West Ham game, in the Brighton game.
It has, yes.
Because we could have easily had more points on the board here. And this is the scary thing.
We could be top two comfortably, shouldn't we?
Here's a team that's already beaten four teams 3-0. And another team, I can't remember who it was, 7-2, which is scary in the amount of, I mean, we're talking, what is it, 8 wins. Mm-hmm. There have been destructions. And then before this game against Chelsea, 4 consecutive clean sheets. So it's both ends, the balance. I mean, Smith always talked about getting the balance right because he was a bit naive, this like gung-ho, best, you know, way of defending when you're 1-0 up is to go and score another goal. It wasn't really, was it? It didn't really pan out that way.
No,
it is if you've set yourself up and you're just very good. And we're getting to that level now. And then he's started to realise it before Project Restart that there needs to be more of a balance. And he has to actually think about his defence because, I mean, the defence is always the bedrock of building a good team. You get that right first, then you're not losing games, you're getting draws. And then you think about how you attack. But he's got the balance right now. What did I say in Match Club? It's almost like he's hit the sweet spot.
He has. Palace was the perfect example of that.
Yeah.
And you can see other teams now when they play us. I mean, we rattle them. I mean, they want Villa sort of done and dusted in the first half or done early because they know that we're a threat now. You've seen it with Chelsea. Whenever we equalised, for want of a better word, the bitchiness in Chelsea came out. They were kicking, pulling, moaning at the referee and everything else.
And their unwillingness to really open up. I think teams have seen now that if you open up and leave wide open spaces for the likes of Jack to run into or you give Louise time to play, space in behind for Watkins to run into, we will batter you.
Yeah.
I don't think that matters who you are now. You look down the matches, the results, and the manner of some of the results. You know, the fact that we've dismantled Liverpool, we've gone to Arsenal and smashed them, we've deservedly done it to Fulham and West Brom, etc. But then we've also managed to stay in games when it's been really tight against Leicester and Wolves, and to a lesser degree, the Chelsea game. You think, you know, we can get results in a number of ways. I always thought last year, and we said it numerous times on here, that to get wins. Last season, we had to play out of our skin.
Yeah, well, just because of the quality of the personnel, really.
Yeah.
Right, this was a quick match reaction. We will be back with a full new show after the United game, which I'm kind of looking forward to. I'm hoping this is the reason why we drew against Chelsea, was basically you can't get too greedy. And if I personally could choose out of beating Chelsea or beating United, it would be beating United every time. So we'll see what happens there. Any final thoughts?
Just Happy New Year.
Yep, I'll echo that.
Happy New Year. Right, until the United game and the year 2021, it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from them.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.